This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
I want to start just by recognizing that for the Somerset West community, maybe not all of us, but a large part of us in the Stellenbosch community, we had a very sad 2 weeks. Tuesday, a week ago, Michael, our 13-year-old son, his friend committed suicide on Tuesday morning. And then, I don't know, and I'm sorry if you are not aware of this, but at one of the schools here in Somerset West at Beaumont this week, a 13-year-old boy also ended his own life. And sure. I didn't mean to start a Sunday sermon on a sad note, but this is church, and we need to be involved in this kind of pain, at least in prayer. And you know, because it was Michael's friend, we were quite drawn into all of this pain last week, and you know, I just started really asking God, all of us, I think many of us, God, how do we pray? God, how can 13-year-old children be so desperate as to not want to live anymore? And what is going on? And on this point, I just want to say that we are going to pray into this tomorrow evening at intercession at the church office at 7 o'clock. And all of you are most welcome to join us there, because we all realize it could have been my child. It could have been my child. And around this, I just felt that God started speaking to me about knowledge. And I want to speak about knowledge this morning, and we will specifically look at some Greek and some Hebrew words in the Bible. And I just want to say that I'm not a scholar of Hebrew and Greek, and I'm not a theologian. I'm just a person who does some pastoral work. So don't expect me to know much more than what I will be sharing here. I just looked at these specific things in the Word of God for this morning. I don't claim to know a lot about it, but I would like to start with Exodus 3, verse 7, and this speaks about Israel being slaves to Egypt, and I'd like to read from verse 7, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Now, this is the first no that I want to look at. And the word no here in Hebrew is the word yada. And I thought, isn't there a yada in Star Wars? I know nothing about Star Wars. Not Star Wars. I just know that there's may the force be with you. And then the Braaidag people changed it to may the Vors be with you. Are you aware of that? And I think, isn't there a Yoda in Star Wars? Anyway, Yodo. There we go. I had something then in my head. So anyway, it's completely irrelevant to everything else. And the word Yoda means so much more than we realize. And that's the sad thing about the fact that we read our Bibles in English or Afrikaans or Khoza, whatever, because it's never like the Hebrew or the Greek, even though the translators obviously tried. But the Hebrew is such a rich language, and one word meant so much more in their language than what it means to us. So the word yada can refer to the following things: perceive, distinguish, recognize, acknowledge, be acquainted with, know intimately, like sexually, recognize, esteem, endorse. And I realized when I read the scripture that God, the Lord says, he looks at his people and they are truly suffering. Okay, not like we are suffering. Some of us are suffering severely, but at least we are not being tortured. Okay, some of us, we have some real pain, but these people, apart from other sufferings, they were tortured, they were slaves. And God says, I am acquainted with your sorrows, and I know it intimately. And we read in the Old Testament, Abraham knew Sarah, or Adam knew Eve. And that means that they had sexual intercourse. And I was thinking about this, because if God says, I know you and I know about you in the same way that a man and a woman and a husband and a wife, I would like to say, because that's different, as a husband and a wife knows each other sexually, that is extremely intimate. You know, we are extremely vulnerable. I'm sorry, I'm just being open and honest. The children are at Children's Church. We are extremely vulnerable when we are naked. And when we are in a sexual relationship, there's a knowledge that is extremely precious, very, very sacred, and very unique, and not something that should be shared with anyone else, because it's just too private and too special and too vulnerable. And God says, I look at my people and I know them like that. And I don't know about you, but in my experience, this is the foundation from which I need to function. Because any other knowledge that I gain concerning God, concerning the Word of God, does not really change me or change my heart or grow me as the knowledge that God knows me intimately. And when I speak about God, I am the first one to say, I don't understand him. I do not understand God. There is a lot about God that I do not understand, and I don't claim to understand him. And I'm extremely comforted by the scripture that says, now we look in a dim mirror. I always say this at some point in a sermon, because I need to just convey that I don't understand much about God. And to be honest with you, if I had to go with what I can understand with my mind, I would probably not be here this morning. To be honest with you. But this is the thing with me, and I believe many of us will agree. I experience him. I do honestly experience God. And because of that, I can never leave him, I can never forsake him, and I can never turn my back on him. Because I have learned that he knows me intimately. And I have learned that he is very acquainted with my sorrow. And he's very acquainted with every single thing about me. This is the difference between our God and other gods, with a small letter, not a capital letter, other gods. Because this God is really, he is the real deal. And I know this because I experience it. And he knows me even in such a more intimate way than my husband knows me. And this is the no that I want to start with. And I prayed this morning. I got up early this morning, which is for me really an achievement. Well, I have to get up early in the morning to make many lunch boxes and get ready for the day, like most mothers here and most of us to go to work. But for me to get up extra early to pray is quite something. I usually do that in the evening because I'm bad in the mornings. But I managed to get up this morning and just to pray for this word. And I said a simple prayer. I said, God, I know that you are real. And I know that you love me intimately. But this knowledge, I cannot impart that to anybody. Only you can. And God, I pray and I ask you from the bottom of my heart, please, Lord, will you reveal yourself to every single person here? Because if we know that he knows us, then we are secure. Then we are confident. We are not confident in a spouse to a point, up until a point, and then that person will fail us. We are not confident in any relationship because people fail, but God. And God is more interested in what he wants for us and how he wants us to grow than our own fleshly desires. That is why he will often not give us what we ask of him. But he will give us that which is needed for us to become what he has created us to be. And he knows us. Yada. He knows us. Now let me move on to the next scripture. John 8 verse 32, a very well-known scripture. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You know, this is one of the scriptures that we quote easily, and it's not a bad thing. And I know with raising children, you know, I often, there's something that you need to convey to your children, like, for instance, the question, where do babies come from? And how do you answer that question? And how honest are you really? And you know, this is a scripture that we can apply in so many different circumstances. Just with raising children, just to always, always tell them the truth. Even if you give them a measure of the truth where it's age appropriate, in the work situation, in relationships, just always tell the truth. And it says, and the truth shall set us free. But this is what I want to focus on. It says, you shall know the truth. Now, this word know is a Greek word, and I'm pronouncing it ginosko because I don't know how it is pronounced. And this is a bit of a different word. It's a Greek word, and this word refers to prognosis, to perceive, to understand, to recognize, to come to know, to come to know. And then very powerfully, it refers to the fact that there's an inception, there's a starting point, there's a progress, and there's an attainment. Can you see how much there is in this little word, know? You shall know the truth. And then it is also the recognition of truth by personal experience. Isn't that amazing? So the Word of God says, you will know the truth. And because you know the truth, you will be set free. If you don't know, and what does this know means? It means that there is a starting point, there is a process, and eventually there's an achievement. I remember when I became born again in 1995, I was a student in Stellenbosch. I went to a church service. It was actually the NG student church. And they had a preacher there called Floyd McClung. I think some people here might know him from YWAM. And he preached from Monday until Friday, until Thursday evening. And one of my friends dragged me there. I didn't really want to go. I grew up in the church, but decided after school that it's not really for me. And one of my friends took me, and I went on the Monday evening, and somehow I wanted to go back on the Tuesday, and somehow I wanted to go back on the Wednesday. And on the Thursday evening, he said, "Is there anybody here who would like to surrender their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ?" And he said, "You will never be the same again." And before I knew it, I was at the front. This was in September 1995. This was the inception. This was the beginning of knowledge. And I never was the same again, ever. Because knowledge came to me. The knowledge of God. How did it come? By the Holy Spirit. Via the mouth of Floyd McClung. And Paul was there as well. He's looking down. He also became born again at that same event. Knowledge came to me. And then there's a journey. And this is the journey of personal experience. Of knowing God. And what a journey. What a journey. And God takes us, and the more we walk with Him, the more we know Him. And it's an intimate knowledge. You know, the Bible speaks about secrets and mysteries. Why? Why does it speak about secrets and mysteries? Why does it say it's a mystery? Because it has to be found. It doesn't just come. It comes by knowing Him and knowing Him and knowing Him and walking with Him. It comes with the uphill and the downhill and the aftrypaikies and the mountain and it comes with the suffering and the joy and the questions and the wrestling. It comes with the good times and the bad times. And in all of that, we cling to God, and there is a knowledge that comes to us. The knowledge of God, it does not come by or through or via the world. And I will speak about that some more just now. But there is a knowledge that comes, and it comes by personal experience. That is why some people could go to church every Sunday but never have a personal experience. And can I say something? And I want to say it in a kind and loving way. But if you have never had a personal experience with God, I am so sorry. I'm so sorry. And I'm asking you, please ask for prayer. Let people pray with you and ask God. Say, "God, will you reveal yourself to me like you revealed Himself to Tian in this testimony that he just shared? Will you show me? Will you? Because I need to know you. I need to know you. I need to know you. And I am unique. And the way that I will know you, because God, He honestly created us in a unique way. For those of you who are married, have you tried to do Bible study and prayer with your wife or your husband? And how is that going? You know, it's amazing how we are all different. And how it doesn't matter, because God is in love with us, and He truly is. It's not a cliche. I was driving here this morning. I had a glorious all alone in the car. Anton went to Franschhoek. He's preaching there. And I went to the children one by one. And I said, "Do you want to go to Franschhoek or Somerset West?" And I say, I was praying, God, please, Franchuk, 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 Franchuk. So three of them said Franchuk. One was doubting, and I said, how about Franchuk? Will you consider? And then Michael said, I am coming to Somerset West because that's my church. And I said, please, God, help me out here. And I said, but I really think Franchuk will be nicer this morning. So I was driving all alone. It was so glorious. And I wanted to worship. And the only CD that I could find was one of the children's CDs. And I put it in. And the song was, want jy is super cool for Jesus. Super cool for hom. You know, I was sitting there and I thought, this is not a cliche. This is not a cliche. The best thing to discover in this life is not a husband or a wife or a child. It really is not. Or a job that pays well or whatever. It is to discover the love, the fact that God is in love with every one of us. I know it sounds impossible, but He really is. But you need to discover that. You know, and if I just look how differently we connect with God. When my husband and I pray together, it really is quite a battle. You know, because he would have these very, very, very long silences. He just sits there with his eyes closed. And I'm like, what are we waiting for? Are you going to pray? What are we doing? Are we finished perhaps? Because that's how he is from God. Like that. He waits. I've never heard from God ever in my life just from sitting with my eyes closed. When I pray, I pray, and then as I go about during the day, I hear from God a lot, but not like that. You know, and at first I thought, this marriage is going to fail. We can't even pray together. Until I realized we are different. We are so very different. And we all love God differently. We connect with Him differently. And that is beautiful. And He says, you will know the truth. How? By personal experience. And that will set you free. Not a sermon. A sermon will help, yes. But you will seek Him and you will find Him and you will experience Him for yourself and you will no longer look for other things to bring security. And then you will be confident because you know that you know and He knows you. And this is the truth that sets you free. And you walk in that truth. You live in that truth. And you honestly become what God has called you to become. And He uses sermons. He uses the small group. He uses friends. He uses those people that you don't like. He uses everything to connect with you. But you need to know Him in a very, very intimate and personal way without trying to look to other people and the way that they know Him. Now let me move on to the next scripture. And this is from Malachi 2 verse 7. And this speaks about the priest. This is Old Testament, so it's a Hebrew word. For the lips of a priest should keep knowledge. And people should seek the law from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. And that is a Hebrew word, da'at. And it says, the lips of the priest should have the knowledge of God, and people should seek it from his mouth, and because he is the messenger. Because God comes and He gives us knowledge. And people come and they seek this knowledge from us. What kind of a knowledge is this? This is actually from the word, it's from the verb, yada is a verb, and this word knowledge is from the word yada, and it refers to understanding, intelligence, discernment, skill. None of this we can learn but by the Holy Spirit. We cannot learn this through a book or anything else. Now listen to this scripture in Hosea 4 verse 6. Hosea is a very interesting book. I would encourage you to read it. I just did a study on Hosea recently. So God says to Hosea, my people are destroyed through a lack of knowledge. This is da'at. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will reject you from being priest for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. Now, let's not focus on that because we are focusing on the word knowledge. There's a lot to say about this, but just let me read the first sentence again. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. This is also a well-known scripture. I've quite a lot to say about this. There is the knowledge of God, and it almost is as if the church has walked away from it in so many instances. I want to share something with you. Who of you know who Brad Huddleston is? Digital cocaine. Okay, a couple of people. There's an American, I call him an evangelist. I'm not sure, but I think the calling on his life is being an evangelist. He's a short man. His name is Brad Huddleston. He spoke at this school a couple of months ago, I think it was this year still, about digital cocaine. That's like his thing. And I'll say more about that just now. And he spoke in Stellenbosch. And I wasn't here when he spoke here, but I was there last week when he spoke in Stellenbosch. And he spoke about technology and the influence that it has on us and especially on our children. And he speaks to secular crowds all over the world all the time. But he's a very straightforward, anointed evangelist. But he's also a scientist and he has all the facts and all the science to prove what he's preaching. And he said something that really, really struck a chord with me, and I realized this is the truth. He said, many people that are sitting here are actually in churches or go to church, because we would typically be the people who would go and listen to a talk like that. But he also speaks to corporate people. He speaks at many, many schools. He said, do you realize that your children are in church every Sunday? They are in children's church every Sunday, but they know more about Black Panther, Spider-Man, Hulk, whoever all those superheroes are. They know more about them than about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He said, go home. Ask your children about Black Panther and Spider-Man, and ask your children about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and see who will win, the superheroes or the apostles. He said, knowledge comes to our children, and it is the wrong knowledge. It is not the knowledge that disciples them. It is not the knowledge that brings life. And these are church children. We are keeping ourselves busy with knowledge that fills our heads, and it is not the knowledge of God. So what do? We have Facebook. We have Twitter. We have Instagram, and I am not wanting to criticize these things because I understand that these, I try. I'm not on those. I used to be on Facebook, but I don't even know if I'm still there because I'm never on it. But I understand that there's a place for it. I understand that it's a powerful tool. I understand that the message of the gospel goes out. I get all of that. I just want to say, that all these things are filling our heads and we have so much knowledge, but it is not the knowledge of God. You know what happened to me? I was busy on Facebook and God said to me, there's no space in your head for this. You are raising 5 children. You are supporting a husband. You are working half day. The rest of the day you are with your children. You have a lot on your plate. Your brain does not have space for this. Because you fill your head with all kinds of knowledge and it's not my knowledge. And I made a decision, and this was my decision, and I just said how we have a personal journey with God. this is my journey with God. But I said, God, I will stop this. Now, I don't know what is going on. You know, because this is how the world changed. People have babies, people get engaged, people, and I have no idea what is going on. And it is the most liberating thing. Because if someone in my life really matters that much, I will know. Because we are filling our heads and we set this example to our children. And there's knowledge and knowledge and there's an overload of knowledge. It's all over. It's wherever we turn. And it's not the knowledge of God. And the church is as guilty as the world is. And let me say this. God is always love. He's never condemnation. But God says, change your ways. Change your ways. I want to share something with you. And I can't share the whole story with you because I don't want to expose my children. But we are a Christian home, as I assume you assume that. And we have Christian values in our house, and we are, for crying out loud, a pastoral couple. So, like every good Christian family, we have rules in the house concerning screens. So our children need to have, unfortunately, and this is a battle that we might enter into, I don't know, to try and change this, but our children have tablets at school. They, instead of textbooks, they use tablets, 2 of our 5 children. So they never had any devices until they had to have these tablets. And when they turn 13, we buy them cell phones, smartphones. So we have these in our house. And we have all the protective things on there that you need, you know, Net Nanny and all those things. And we did everything that we had to do. But we were not vigilant. We were not vigilant. And something happened in our house. And unfortunately, I cannot share this with you. But we were confronted with, our children saw things that they should not have seen. And we had so much to deal with. And we had to have a whole journey of speaking and counseling and prayer and praying separately and praying with one of our children and speaking to this child. And one night, this child came to me. This child woke me. I don't want to say whether it's a he or a she because I don't want you to speculate about my children. But one of the children woke me and this child said, I have a voice in my head that tells me to end my life. This is knowledge. This is the knowledge of Satan. This is the knowledge of the enemy. And the Word of God says he's walking around like a roaring lion to see who he can destroy and how he can destroy. And we had such a wake-up call. And I say to Anton, and Anton say to me, there's knowledge in our house, in under our own roof, which is supposed to be a safe space. And the enemy came in and he wreaked havoc. And we will no longer have these doors open. And we said, out with all the devices. No more screen time. Not on a Saturday for an hour. Not on a Friday evening for 20 minutes. This is finished now. We will speak about the Lord. Yes, obviously once in a blue moon we will watch a movie once a week. And we are not already angels in heaven. But this is what I want to say. There are all kinds of knowledges out there. And we need to know the knowledge of God. And we need to teach it to our children. And we need to disciple them. And we must understand this, that we live in a time where there's such competition for God in our hearts. For God to fill our hearts. This man, this evangelist, Brad Huddleston, he said, our teenagers, our church children, our church teenagers, they gave their hearts to social media. They live in social media. They live for social media. They live for the next movie. You know, I took one of my sons to watch, what's the bunny? Beatrix Potter, Peter Rabbit. It's an adorable, adorable, excellent movie. I took one of my sons, I won't say which one, to watch that. And he was angry with me all through the movie because he wanted to watch Black Panther, which is a 13-year-old age restriction. And he was 8 then. And I realized, God, the world is stealing, the enemy is stealing our children, he's stealing us, he's stealing our thoughts. And there is a knowledge, there is a knowledge, there is a knowledge that God wants to impart. But we don't make space for him. We don't allow him. We, us, the Myberg family, did not make space for him. And we love our children more than anything. But it was as if we just abandoned them in a sense. And we had to stop in the name of Jesus. And we had to say no, no, no. And this is tough. But let me say this, God wants to, we live in a time, I know every generation says this, but man, the previous generations has no idea, I think, what we are facing. We live in a time where we need to be vigilant. We need to pray. We need to allow God in, and he doesn't come through a screen. He doesn't come through a billboard. He doesn't come through something that you can buy with money. He comes by the Holy Spirit, and he gives us the knowledge that we need for a time such as this time. And some of us here, we have extremely challenging circumstances. I know that. God wants to give us knowledge for our own personal situation. Yada, like sexual intimacy. He wants to give you that knowledge for your situation. You need to seek his face. We had to do that for our children. God, what now? Give us the knowledge that we need. And there are many resources that will help, and God will use probably a specific resource in your life at a specific time, but we need to pursue him. We need to ask him, and he will answer us in his way. God wants to connect with us. He wants to give us that knowledge that we need. Let me read the next scripture. I'm so excited about this scripture. Exodus 31, verse 3. God speaks about a person called Bezalel, I don't know. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge. That is again that Hebrew word, da'at. And in all manner of workmanship, there was a man called Bezalel, and God anointed him. God gave him specific knowledge for craftsmanship and art. It's a knowledge that God gave him. Every single one of us, I know this is true, that he's sitting here. God gave us specific knowledge for something specific. Find that thing and pursue it. Find that thing. And don't worry about the rest of the things that you have no knowledge of. Just leave it. Find that thing that God anointed you for, that God gave you knowledge for. We have a lady in our life called Rachel. Who of you know Rachel? Many of you. Everybody knows Rachel. She's in her 30s, and long story, she started working for us about 7 years ago, and she doesn't work for us anymore, but she's still very, very close to us. God anointed Rachel to work with children. God gave her the knowledge to work with children. And that is what she does, especially children with special needs. And there is an incredible anointing upon her life. And the more that she does it, the more fruit she bears. And the more children just become godly because of her gifting. Because God gave her a specific kind of knowledge. I really want to say this. Find out what is the knowledge that God gave you and start walking in that, because it will bear fruit in the name of Jesus. Ask him. If we can just show that next slide. Ask stands for always seek knowledge. I'm so aware of the fact that God is faithful. I'm so aware of the fact that I can go and I can just be with him and he will fill me. And I will walk in peace. I will be secure. And he will give me the knowledge that I need for my life, that I need for my situation, that I need for this church, that I need for whatever it is needed for. And it comes from God. And we need to ask him for it. The word of God says, you ask, but you do not receive because you ask wrongly. You don't know what to ask for. Well, I'm telling you this morning what we need to ask for. We need to ask God for the knowledge of the Lord to fill us and to become our greatest reality. Let me read the next scripture. I'm almost finished. Proverbs 18, verse 15. The heart of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. I really believe that we are moving into a time. We don't know when Jesus is coming back. Every generation thought it would be in their generation. We don't know. But this I know. What we are encountering now with our children, especially if we raise children, but even for ourselves, technology-wise, what is happening to the world. I read about this couple in Kabul who was taken hostage. I got the book from Jamie. And, you know, apart from the fact that they were taken hostage by Islam and the severe suffering, one of the things that they suffered from were the constant drones that would enter the area where they were imprisoned, and these drones were often bombs, and lots of people would die. This is in Kabul. Is that Afrikaans? Kabul. And this lady that wrote this book, she said the people lived in fear for these drones. This little thingy. I mean, the times that we're living in, the reality of technology and everything that comes with it. Let me say this. Our children, our godly offspring, our sons and daughters who are called to usher the kingdom of God into their generation will not be able to do it if they do not know the Holy Spirit. They will not be able to do it. Religion is not going to cut it anymore. Life became too complicated. Life became too complex. The problems are too complex. It will be conquered. It will be overcome. It will be won over by the Holy Spirit and by the knowledge of God, intimate knowledge, and by the wisdom and the knowledge that God gives for a specific situation. This is what will cause us to overcome. Let me read the last very amazing scripture from Isaiah 11, verse 1 to 5. This is a prophecy about Jesus. This is what makes the Bible so amazing, is that the Old Testament prophesied everything and then it happened in the New Testament. Listen to this. Isaiah 11, verse 1 to 5. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. Isn't that beautiful? You know what the answer is to all our challenges? You know what the answer is to everything that we need to overcome? The answer is in worshiping God. The answer is in seeking his face, in asking him, in being on the floor, prostrate before God, and praying to God and worshiping God and waiting on God. That is where the answer lies. That is where it is. And his faithfulness and his goodness and the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge will fill us and will fill our families and will fill our churches. And by that, we will overcome. By that knowledge, we will have joy and peace and security. I'm not speaking about a fake joy or a surface peace on the surface. I'm speaking about a deep, deep, deep knowledge and trust and knowing from our bellies, from our spirit man, the knowledge of the Lord. And the Word of God says, and I'm ending with this, and this is also a well-known scripture. He says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can even conceive, but by His Spirit. And this is what we need to trust God for, because He is faithful. I'm going to ask the ushers to just hand out the bread and the wine for communion. I want to say that I know this is a this is not a fun message. But I believe this is the word of God. And I'm going to ask us to turn to each other in groups of pairs of two or groups of three, perhaps not more than four in a little group. And you are welcome to go to those that you feel comfortable with, that you know well. If you don't know anybody, I would like to ask the elders or the small group leaders to just go to those people who are not known and might be on their own. And I'm going to ask us just to pray for each other and to share with each other, share with each other. And if you don't want to, you don't have to share anything about yourself that you don't feel comfortable with. But can we just share with each other, how am I doing in the area of knowledge? Which kind of knowledge am I pursuing? And the second thing is, what is the knowledge that God gave me specifically, like this man who had knowledge in craftsmanship and art? What did God give me knowledge in? And let's pray for each other. Let's pray for each other. Let's pray that God will release His anointing, because it's all about bearing fruit. God says, I want you to bear fruit, and the leaves of the trees will be healing unto the nations. It will be healing unto the nations. So I'm going to give you about 5 to 10 minutes. If you could just turn to each other and do that. There's still 1 minute left before it's 11 o'clock. So can we stand and just worship one song together? And if you need prayer, please, we'd love to pray with you. And after that, we can go and have some tea and coffee.
Thank you for listening.